Our next public hearing is change of zone number 1649, Rodney W. Smith. Now, Mr. Lank, we've got another one that we want to combine. Do you want me to read, do we want to read both of them into the record first?
I'm going to read both of them.
And then we'll vote on them separately when the time comes. And conditional use number 1781, Rodney W. Smith.
Just for everyone's purpose and notice, the applicants have requested that these two applications be combined in one presentation, and then we would consider vote. In voting on these applications, we would make separate decisions. Change of zone 1649 is the application of Rodney W. Smith to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Georgetown 100, Sussex County, for land lying southwest of Zora Road, also known as Road 48, 1,000 feet south of Sussex Pines Road, also known as Road 324, and to be located on 39.73 acres, more or less. Conditional use number 1781 is the application of Rodney W. Smith to consider the conditional use of land in a CR1 commercial residential district for multifamily dwelling structures to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Georgetown 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 39.73 acres, more or less, lying southwest of Zora Road, also known as Route 48, 1,000 feet south of Sussex Pine Road, being Road 324. Information has been provided with the revised site plans, and they've also been provided with a large booklet, exhibit booklet, containing information on this application. It is a part of the record and has been a part of the record. I made a statement earlier on the request of the developer that the two applications be combined. There's an email in reference to that as a part of the record. From the Sussex County Engineering Department, Public Utilities Division, or Utility Planning Division, excuse me, we have a memorandum received today, makes reference to this application. States that the site is not currently in a county-operated and maintained sanitary sewer district. However, it is located in the North Coastal Planning Areas study area. The project is not capable of being annexed into a county operated sanitary sewer district. The project proposes to develop using a private community wastewater system. We recommend that the wastewater system be operated under a long-term contract with a capable wastewater utility. In addition, we recommend that they have a wastewater utility provider prior to approving the project. The proposed project is located outside the Inland Bays planning area where Sussex County expects to provide sewer service. The county requires design and construction of the collection and transmission system to meet Sussex County sewer standards and specifications. A review of the treatment and disposal system for the county engineering department is also required, and plan review fees may apply. Disposal fields should be clearly identified on recorded plots. If the county ever provides sewer service, it is required that the treatment system be abandoned and a direct connection made to the county system at the developers and or homeowners association expense. The county anticipates adopting new road standards in the near future. This project will be required to comply with those adopted standards, and that a concept plan is not required. It was signed by John J. Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. From the Sussex Conservation District, and in the form of a memorandum and in reference to this applications, we are advised that there are four soil types on this property, that the applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation upon completion of construction, that there are no storm flood hazard areas affected, that it may not be necessary for any off-site drainage improvements, that the applicant would be required to follow state sediment and stormwater requirements for on-site drainage improvements, and a text ditch could be impacted. Attached to that memorandum is a copy of an aerial infrared showing the site and surrounding area, also a copy of a soil map, a soil legend, and soil report and interpretation, and also a reference to prime and other important farmlands. In addition, we received correspondence from Bill Lux, Morgan Chiropractic, and Kimberly Ellison in support of the application. They are two in the form of letters, one in the form of an email, or voice, or not, excuse me, fax. That's the additional information from change of zone application. I also received an email from the Wilgus, Donald Wilgus, excuse me, in support of the application. Comments I received from the County Engineering Department Utility Claim Division were the same on conditional use 1781. The memorandum I received on change of zone 1649 are the same as those I received with this application. And just for informational purposes, this application is proposing to comply with the moderately priced housing unit program and has been reviewed through the Community Development and Housing Department of the county and has also been forwarded to the commission for review through county council. And that's all I have, gentlemen, unless you have questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. And the chair recognizes Mr. Dyer.
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. My name is Pret Dyer. I am a consultant to the applicant. With me this evening is also Mark Davidson of Design Consultants Group, and he will be sharing in the presentation. As Mr. Lank has indicated, there are two applications that are being considered this evening. The first is a change of zone to CR1. The reason that the applicant is seeking CR1 commercial zoning is that the property is located within level one under the state strategies for spending map. And as you are well aware, under level one, the densities are generally considered to be higher in that particular area. There is an encouragement of mixed uses, which is the subject of the second application, which is for residential interspersed with the business district uses being permitted uses within the CR1 district. The level one encourages a wide variety of employment, shopping, and recreational uses. In that vein, Mr. Davidson will review the various aspects of the project, which include a park, which is being located next to the existing residential uses so as to create a buffer. There will be employment opportunities in that there will be, excuse me, commercial live-work opportunities being provided within the project. The state strategies for spending encourages the wide range of uses and densities. In particular, Mr. Davidson will also review, as Mr. Lank has briefly introduced, the affordable housing component of this project. There has been approval for the MPHU component to be included within this residential piece of the project. Powell Place, as it will be known, will support a mixed-use project with offices, specialty retail, mini storage opportunities, and residential housing. The Sussex County Comprehensive Plan earmarks this area as a developing area. Again, the target would be a mixed use of the commercial aspects as well as the higher density residential opportunities. Another aspect which is unique to this project is it is within the annexation area for the town of Georgetown. The town has not has been placed on notice, but has not objected to this project being developed within Sussex County. And in fact, the town, and Mr. Davison will review this as well, the town has agreed to provide the water and service and sewer service to the project. The exact details of why the MPHU was incorporated really rest upon several considerations. The first being when the project was originally provided to the PLUS, there was an encouragement for mixed uses. And I believe that the live-work aspect of this project will definitely benefit, and that's why the conditional use for the residential component is warranted. The property is also unique in that it has been in the applicant's family for over 200 years. And as we will witness on the zoning map, again, that Mr. Davison will show you in detail, you can see the transition from an agricultural environment to a more highly developed commercial, specialty use, and very dominant institutional uses with the prisons and Del Dot. We also have, which is in your booklet, a letter from Workman's Inc., specifying that the practical difficulty of farming this particular property rests in not only the rapid development of the surrounding properties, the congestion on Zor Road, and in fact makes it very difficult with the creation of the dust and the geese which reside on the prison property. I believe that that's in the booklet, but just for the record, I'll submit that into the record. Thank you. At this time, Mr. Davison will review the zoning aspects of the neighboring property, the technical aspects of the development, and then I'll provide a conclusion. Thank you.
Thank you. Before Mr. Davison begins, anyone with an interest in this application, please feel free to get up and look closely at the exhibits. Feel free to move around, change your place of seating, as long as you do it quietly. Feel free so that you'll understand what's going on. We have exhibits over here that we're looking at the same thing that you'd be looking at. So if you wish, feel free. All right, Mr. Davison. Later on, sir.
Good evening. Mark Davidson with Design Consultants Group in Milton, Delaware. This project is located on 39.43 acres, which is identified as tax parcel 135-23-18. The property is located.
This exhibit is in your booklet under the maps. It's the 2007 ortho photo. The property is located on the west side of County Road 48, which is Zor Road. It's about 160 feet south of Sussex Pines Road and about 2,500 feet north of Woods Branch Road, which Woods Branch Road takes you right out to US 113. The property is bordered on the north by the Delaware Department of Motor Vehicle. On the north side by DMV, as well as the Delaware Department of Transportation. It's bordered on the west and the south side by the Sussex Correctional Institution. It's also bordered on the north side by one residential parcel, which I will talk about our site plan of that. On the west side, there is the Church of God of Prophecy, as well as it's bordered on the east side by Zor Road. I believe within your booklets, within the second sheet within your booklets, there's a county zoning map,
In the vicinity of this property are other commercial and governmental properties and uses. As I just previously stated, you've got the Sussex Correctional Institute and the Delaware Department of Motor V, which is on the north side of the property, the jail being on the south and the west, as I previously described. You've also got the State of Delaware Health Center, which is in the vicinity of this property. The Delaware State Police Troop 4, which is across the highway, but also in the vicinity of this property, as well as the Sussex Conservation District. The actual prison property happens to be on the east and west side of 113, but the primary correctional institution being on the east side of 113. In the vicinity of this piece of property, about 300 feet north, is the Sussex Academy of Arts and Science, as well as located, this property is located within about a mile and a half of the Georgetown, which is going to be the new Georgetown Middle School, as well as the Georgetown Elementary. Other commercial uses that are in the vicinity are right across the street is the Eric James Electric. As I mentioned before, bordering on the east side of the property is the Church of God of Prophecy. Right down north of this property is Robert Septic Service. In the vicinity of the property are also the Ready Call Communications, Markers Deli, the Georgetown Service Center, the Georgetown Speedway, Kruger Trailers. There's south of the property, there is a beauty salon and an auto repair shop. Again, these are just some of the commercial and government uses that are either adjacent or in the vicinity of this property. Located on the site plan, SP3. Again, this property is has 39.43 acres. We are proposing under the CR1 application, again, with a conditional use that's going to overlay a mixed-use project here. Beginning up front here, we've got what we call a live-work type use, where we're going to have 36 condominium flats over retail and office. Our layout right now is approximately about 7,800 square feet of a building size, about four units on top of each one of the buildings. The buildings will front along Zor Road, and as well as Powell Place Boulevard on the way. It'll be set up in an L shape. All the parking will be in the back of these buildings. No parking will be along Zor Road. There's also no parking will be is being proposed within the front setbacks. As you come into the boulevard here, we have a traffic circle for traffic calming to slow down the traffic as they're approaching, coming into this development. On the north side of the property, we're proposing 88 townhouse units in a fee simple setup. There'll be a 50-foot right-of-way within this, and each townhouse will be set up as fee simple. Within each one of those townhouse units, I believe there's 13 townhouse buildings, each having six units within them, and there's a 1 four-unit building. Within those units, under the MPHU, the applicant has dedicated one unit per each building to fall under the MPHU program. He feels that by putting one unit within each, he's not singled out one particular building unit to put all the MPH units in. He's spread them out throughout the entire site. Located along the border of the Sussex Correctional Institute and at the south of the property, we're proposing at this time some mini warehouses, some warehousing type units. They're about 2,400 square feet They can be leased out as a whole unit to one user, or they can be broken up into individual units for mini storage. Again, we've tried to take this project here, and we've tried to buffer the residential portion of this from the existing prison. Right now, if you've never been out there at night, when the lights are on at the prison, this whole back area back here with the mini storage lights up the entire back portion of this property back here. So we felt that the residential aspect of this over on this side of the, on the north side of the property, was a better fit for this project. Within this site, we are proposing a couple of open areas for the residents. The first is what we're calling the Park at Powell Place, and it's located at the very north of the property, which is on the north side of the Church of God of Prophecy. Park Place, it's about approximately about 13.2 acres in size. There'll be a tot lot there. It's also going to, it's a buffer between the existing residential unit that dwelling that is on the north side of this property right now. So no dwellings or no proposed construction or uses are being proposed within this area here. This will be considered the park for the residents. We're also proposing a community area, which will be down at the western, southwestern side of the property, that's going to buffer between the residential units and the warehouses. This community area is about 2.3 acres in size altogether. There's also an area that will be, as you come in the boulevard, there will be an area with a gazebo proposed right now for the commercial aspect of this, for the users of this commercial, the tenants of the commercial, to be able to have a place to come out for lunches and breaks. And all these areas are going to be connected with sidewalks and walking paths. Total open space for this site is about 19.32 acres of the entire property, which is 49% of the property. On the north side of this property, there's a what the is called the McGee tax ditch, and on within this tax ditch, there are some wetlands that were identified within the tax ditch. It totals about 0.3 acres of land, but there are no wetlands within the entire property of this site. There is a, except with the exception of with what's within this, there's non-tidal wetlands within the McGee tax ditch. The maintenance easements for these tax ditch, the 25-foot maintenance easement along the northern border here is on the Department of Motor Vehicles side. So they will be encumbered by a 25-foot tax ditch easement on the state side of the property. Beginning at the north property corner in this location here, the south side of the property, which will run through the park at Powell Place, will be encumbered by a 50-foot tax maintenance easement, which is measured from the top of the bank. That is also, that also shows up on the boundary survey that's located within the booklet. This property is sitting inside a is sitting outside the 500-year floodplain. A traffic impact study was performed by Davis Bone and Friedel, and was approved by DLDOT. The final TIS recommended that that Park Place here will, they will be improving Zor Road to DLDOT standards, 11-foot travel lanes, 5-foot shoulders from the south property line up to the intersection of Sussex Pines Road. As a part of the entrance approval for this project, a diesel lane will be required, as well as a bypass lane on Zor Road. The Park Place will also have to enter into an agreement with DLDOT and or Sussex County to fund an equitable portion of improvements to the intersections of South Bedford Street and Arrow Safety Road as a part of the Park Avenue realignment project. They will also have to enter into a traffic signal agreement with DLDOT for the intersections of South Bedford Street and Arrow Safety Road. Another traffic signal agreement will have to be entered into along Aero Safety Road and First State Chevy entrance, as well as US 113. So the intersection there will require this Powell Place here to enter into a traffic signal agreement. We will have to enter into an agreement with DelDOT to install one or more raised concrete islands at the US 113 and Woods Branch Road and Kruger Road, as well as a raised concrete island at the intersection of 113 Speedway Road and Almshouse Road. Under the requirements under the TIS for the bicycle pedestrian transit improvements, 5-foot bike lanes will be required along the frontage of our property as part of our entrance design. We are dedicating a 15-foot wide permanent easement for multimodal. DelDOT has recommended that we place a 5-foot sidewalk along the front of the property. It means that the 5-foot bike path is required along within the roadway. The 5-foot sidewalk would be required. They've also required sidewalks within our site, which we do show on the site plan. The other thing that DelDOT has asked us to take a look into during our design of our entrance will be the Transit Authority, the DART bus system, which I believe one of the routes does run down Zora Road and has two stops within the vicinity of this site. So during the entrance plan application of this project, we will be working with DelDOT and setting up, see if we can't work out a location for a transit stop. We are proposing at this time a bus shelter at the entrance of this site. What we've provided is we're going to have a sidewalk that will connect from the existing parking lot, and that'll allow the parents of the children to be able to wait for their children within the existing parking lot here, and the bus shelter will be located at the entrance. The existing topography of this site shows that this site drains from the south to the north. We have an existing ditch that runs through our property called Gill's Branch. The swale, it's more like a swale right now. It's about 8 to 12 inches deep in any one location. But it is running through, it runs through the site. It runs from the north down to the south or south to the north. Everything drains towards the existing tack stitches, which are located on site. We're going to take advantage of this existing ditch. It's going to stay intact. We're not going to it's not going to be filled in. It's non-jurisdictional. It was regarded as a farm ditch, and the Corps did not take jurisdiction of this branch. Again, everything drains to the existing McGee tack ditch located along the north of the property. The soil is in a fair recharge area, according to the groundwater recharge maps. The proposed ponds on this site have been placed in such a way that we are going to direct all the stormwater away from the southern edge of this property here. The ponds are going to be wet ponds, mostly due because of the types of soils that are out here. Again, we have about 30-inch limiting zones to the seasonal high water table, so we're going to take advantage of the soils that are out here. We're going to utilize these ponds as wet ponds. We also, within the parking lot of this site here, we are proposing to do some rain gardens that'll help drain the parking lot. If you look on the site plans, we show a pretty extensive landscaping within this site. The landscaping for this site we have a proposed 30-foot landscape buffer running around three sides of the property, the southwest and the north ends of the property. We also show a reforestation area here, or forestation area which is approximately about 1.5 acres in size, and that is going to be located along the southern property line. It's going to buffer the parking lot from the existing state parcel. Again, the stormwater for this site will run in a series. These ponds will be connected, and the primary outfall will be within the McGee tax ditch, and all approvals will be by the Sussex Conservation District and the Department of Natural Resources. The landscaping plan that we will be proposing for this project will utilize the strategies outlined in the right tree in the right place. All native landscaping will be utilized for this project. At this time, the currently on site, the existing house that's on site right now is currently served by the town of Georgetown Water. There is an existing 10-inch water line that runs down the front of Zora Road and connects to the Georgetown's facility on the south side of the property. Inside the booklet, there are letters from the town of Georgetown under the wastewater section of this property. Powell Place will be seeking wastewater from the town of Georgetown. And the letters in the booklet outline that Powell Place will do a sewer feasibility study, and that will determine where the waste connection to the town system will be. Currently, we've been working with the town of Georgetown and talking to them about our connection point. And there's an existing manhole that's located up near the Sussex Academy of the Arts school that we're currently looking at tying our wastewater into. At this time, that's all I have.
All right, sir, we thank you.
I would direct your attention to the booklet, which contains, I believe, 10 letters in support, including a petition from the Church of God of Prophecy. The substance of those letters in support of the project surround the components of the commercial nature of the project, as well as the support for the affordable housing being provided under conditional use. It's obvious from the presentation that the proposed conditional use does not have any negative impact on the surrounding properties. And again, in your consideration of the two requests, the first being the change of zone, I believe that what we have demonstrated is the fact that the surrounding institutional business slash commercial, governmental, and religious uses do make this, in conjunction with the level one, as well as the developing areas, do make it an appropriate property for consideration for the CR1 designation. The necessity of considering the live-work opportunities again provides support for the conditional use. Again, the conditional use would be for only the residential component of the entire project. So the underlying zoning, if this project were to be approved, would be the CR1, and then the conditional use would support the particular plan that Mr. Davidson has presented to you as it related to the residential components. We believe, again, that the proximity to Georgetown is very important. The fact that it is in the annexation area, but yet the town is willing to allow this property to be developed within the county standards and their consideration for providing utilities lends additional support to both requests. As you can see from the conceptual plan for the conditional use, with the open space, we have incorporated a superior design. As Mr. Davidson had indicated, the best management practices of incorporation of the storm water additionally will benefit not only this project but the surrounding properties. The incorporation of a mixed use will limit the number of trips on Zor Road, benefiting the residents of the project, but also the commercial aspect will benefit the nearby community. The MPHU program provides an additional layer of benefit for the requirements being met. There is a rigorous test which the applicant went through in order to be able to be considered and approved for that MPHU program. And as I indicated previously, there were some comments from the initial PLUS application that likewise were incorporated. Based upon these facts, we have provided a proposed finding of fact in the event that you would find favor with the change of zone application as well as the conditional use, which I would like to present. In summation, we would request that in both of these cases, being the change of zone, from the factors and the considerations that we have provided to you, that you would act favorably upon that. And then in the separate application for the conditional use, we would ask that based upon the need for the flexibility in the current residential market, that an affordable housing component would be considered as a positive complement to the existing CR1 zoning if that were to be approved. Thank you.
All right, sir, we thank you. And we'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with...
Can I make a statement first?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Mr. Dyer, Mr. Davidson, neither one made reference to the fact that on May 29th of 2008, the Office of Management, Budget, State Planning Coordination Office forwarded a letter to our department making reference to the PLUS process, the Preliminary Land Use Service for the Smith Tract. This project is located in investment level one according to the strategies for state policies and spending. The state has no objection to the rezoning of the property. The original letter did give specific comments regarding future development of the site. Denrek noted that in a response from Mr. Davidson to the wellhead protection area's comments, he stated that they were unaware of any studies leading to the determination of the highlighted areas of the map included in the letter. He requested a monitoring well data that supports groundwater moving in the direction of the town of Georgetown's public well. In response, Denrek stated that the study conducted on the highlighted wellhead protection areas shown on the reference map is detailed in public water supply source water assessment for Georgetown Water, dated January 5th of 2003. This report shows the data and model used to delineate the wellhead protection area. The assessment is required under 1996 amendment to the U.S. Safe Drinking Water Act, and the delineation was modeled using the U.S. EPA WHAEM 2000 application, and the assessment can be found on Denrek's Source Water Protection website. And the state has no further comments on this project at this time, and it was signed by Constance C. Holland, Director of the Office of State Planning. I just wasn't introducing to the record.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Burton.
I just have one question. I thought you answered all my other ones. How many MPHUs, how many affordable housing would you, what is the
13
number?
13 units.
Out of, and what was the total?
Out of 83? 88.
The only question I have.
All right, sir. Mr. Gordy.
Can you explain more about these affordable housing and why it's needed and the cost of them, what they're going to be? I mean, I know, but some of the public doesn't know what's going on.
I think that again, when this project has gone through several different conceptual stages, and the realization was that it was necessary to not only incorporate the formal aspects of an MPHU, which is moderately priced housing unit, which has specific earmarks and restrictions upon those particular 13 units. Excuse me. But I also believe that with the combination of the commercial units, which could be located above the business uses, that would provide an additional affordable component to the overall housing project. So I would say that the residential project itself would be both affordable and incorporate the moderately priced housing units as defined within that particular program.
And the pink buildings showed on here are going to be the condo retail combination. Is that?
I'll let Mr. Davidson.
Which the ones out front? I guess they're pink color. I guess.
Yes. Those are earmarked for condominium
retail.
Flats over top. Those are the live work areas.
Okay. And the storage area, it would be fenced?
Yes.
Now, is that for commercial as far as storage, or is it just for the people that lives in the
development? It'll be for both.
For both?
Yes.
Okay. And it'll be gated and...
That is correct. It'll have...
And you won't need any lights.
Yeah, the lighting,
it's already
the lighting aspect.
It's lit from the SCI, isn't it?
That's correct.
Let's see what else I have. And the reason that the park at Powell Place going to be put there, I mean, there's got to be a reason why that's so far away from...
Again, what we were looking at doing is taking that area and providing a buffer. And it's actually, it's located in an area where it's going to be, you know, primary for the 88 townhouses that we're proposing. It's a nice shaped area. It's located, again, it's buffered in between the church and a residential parcel on the north side. So it was an opportunity to be able to provide a nice buffer from that residential, the existing residential home for this project.
And you did say there's sidewalks on both sides?
There'll be sidewalks interspersed throughout the site. Whether they'll be on both sides, we show on the site plan, we do show our sidewalk layout. Right now it's proposed on one side throughout a portion of the, you know, both side. It's intermittent.
Got it.
Within the site. It's not shown entirely,
but there's
on both
there's
sides.
At least one sidewalk.
That is correct.
Throughout the area.
Through the boulevard, through the commercial aspect, there are sidewalks on both sides.
And the shared parking here, is that for the church or is that for?
The applicant has expressed a desire. We're proposing an easement here.
Okay.
So that on Sundays, the overflow parking could occur within the existing parking lot here for the church.
Okay. And the plus comments, DelDOT made comments about developer doing quite a bit of work.
That's correct, yeah.
In a level one.
That was part of the traffic, part of it.
They didn't say whose money they're going to spend in level one. They just said they're going to spend money.
I mean, we keep hearing that level one is the state's going to, that's where all the money's going to go, but apparently you're going to be putting out quite a bit of money for
improvements. It's a state strategy level, and the strategy is to get these guys to pay for it. So.
That's all the questions I have right now.
All right, sir. Mr. Lank?
No questions.
Mr. Couts?
Just wanted to clarify on the issue of the wellhead protection area. Since you started the process, the county's adopted a wellhead protection area ordinance. Have you made the necessary revisions to your plan to comply with that ordinance?
At this time, I think part of that ordinance talks about a study that we would be able to perform to be able to possibly scrutinize the area that was designated as the wellhead protection area. I can tell you that we are the primary zone under the well is 100-foot radius around the existing wells. Can I hand out this board here?
Sure.
I had a problem this afternoon getting my imaging to work on my larger drawing here, but the image shows up there. If you notice down here in the sub portion, there's an existing water plant for the town of Georgetown. It's located within the white building there. Next to that, adjacent to that, is an existing well, as well as a well that is located further south of that building. I've struck a 150-foot radius. The town of Georgetown's wellhead protection requires it within their zone one, 150 feet. So if you look, if you see that, there's no impervious surface that's going to be located within that 150-foot radius. To meet the county's requirement, 100 feet, we wouldn't even be within the boundaries of our property. So again, we will perform that study that is required under that ordinance to...
That's all.
Okay.
Grab it.
Questions?
Council? All right, gentlemen, we thank you. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone that would like to speak in favor of change of zone 1649 and or conditional use number 1781, Rodney W. Smith?
Right.
Is there anyone here that, I'm sorry, yes, in favor. Yes, sir. Yep. Come on up. Give us your name. You may have the floor.
I'm Eric James of Eric C. James Electric. I border directly across from this proposed property, and I am in support of it.
You want to tell us why? You don't have to.
Oh, it's just going to enhance the area. Georgetown does need growth, and it does need growth in business and in low-income and residential homes. Unlike from these big builders coming in and building a lot of track houses, I think this would enhance Georgetown, especially in that area that's growing to be more and more commercial all the time.
All right, sir. We thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to speak in favor? Or anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to change of zone number 1649 and or conditional use number 1781? Okay. Start with the lady in the black top, followed by the gentleman in the blue shirt, and then the lady in the white top over here.
My name is Glenda Scott, and I'm here representing my parents. They were unable to come due to illness, and my mother cares for her mother, who is several years over 100 years of age. And my sister and I do have a vested interest in this property. My parents own the property that adjoins Mr. Smith next to the church, mm-hmm. Okay. Along that tax ditch. I have a letter from them. I can certainly read that to you. They're requesting that it be a part of the record of the hearing, and they've asked for, if you do approve it, they're obviously opposed to it for a variety of reasons. Traffic, site plans look wonderful, and I'm going to talk in general from this letter. But the only thing guaranteed with the conditional use is the housing. All of the other things that are on that site plan are not guaranteed to actually come to fruition. The property could be sold, another person without a stipulation saying that's what this parcel will look like eventually, could indeed develop it in a different way, with the exception of the housing issues. As I understood what Mr. Lang told me when I reviewed the booklet that you have in front of you, with not the level of understanding that you all have. Traffic on Zur Road has increased tremendously. My parents have lived at that site in October for 54 years. And as my dad said, for 45 to 50 years, they could say they lived in the ninth house on the right from the store. As you talk about the businesses, many of those businesses were non-conforming uses. They existed prior to zoning. The zoning ordinances, Markers and Roberts and several others. Mr. James, I do believe, has a commercial zoning there. His property is for sale. The conditions that they would like for you to consider, if indeed you do approve it, is that the project be developed as it has been illustrated to you on the site plan, be it by the current owner or by any future owners. that all recommendations made by any state agencies regarding safety and traffic patterns be implicated prior to the project beginning, and the hours of operation for any business and commercial projects be limited so that they are compatible with the other areas in the community. Most of those businesses that are there are closed by 5:30, and really have very little traffic impact on that community. Mr. James's business is small. The store is relatively far away. Mr. Roberts is usually done by 5 or 5:30. His trucks do leave on occasion in the evening. The school is certainly done, and all of the state office buildings are closed by 4:30 as a general rule of thumb. I think the Mr. Davidson did address some of their concerns about drainage. That has become a serious issue since the inspection lane was reconstructed for them. Water flows to the lowest point. They had lived there 53 years and have never had the amount of water draining into their property that they've had. They've had as much as 8 to 10 feet of water and big rains drain it only on one occasion, but it certainly is a concern. And I think Mr. Davidson did address some of their concerns there. Those were their concerns.
Okay. We thank you. If you would like to leave a copy of your letter with our attorney, and we'll see that it does get made a part of the record. And we thank you. All right, sir. Your turn.
Good evening. My name is Chris Moore. I reside at 15 Fairway Avenue at Country Club Village, which is, and I'm also the president of the Country Club Village Homeowners Association, which is a development located within 1 mile of the proposed site. We have many concerns, and please bear with me because this may be somewhat fragmented because I did make several notes during the presentation. We have many concerns, one of which, will the revenue generated by this development offset in total the cost of the long-term infrastructure that's going to be required? There appears to be a lot of participation and cooperation that's going to be required by the county. DelDOT, new traffic signals, concrete things. Yes, it's the intent of the state to have the developers participate in the funding, but that has yet to come to fruition. In other words,
sir, I have to beg to differ with you on that one. There have been a great many private dollars spent at the behest of the Department of Transportation. So that is happening every day. Private developers, and I'm not defending them, I'm just stating a fact.
I should probably have given you some of my background. I've been in the mortgage lending industry for 34 years, born and raised in Delaware.
Well, what happened to you guys then? You got us in one heck of a mess right now.
I beg to differ with you.
All right, go ahead.
The county council, long-standing philosophy of if we build it, they will come. We see what philosophy that has, it's become a detriment.
That's really beyond the scope of our hearing.
I know. But it's really not, because if they build them, will they come? We currently have 21 months of inventory of houses on the market, which is three times the amount that's typical for this area. So if they build them, will they come? Or will we have vacant commercial buildings, vacant townhomes? There was a lot of emphasis placed on the moderate affordable housing. Out of all the mini storage units, out of all the townhouses, out of all the commercial buildings, if I'm not mistaken, there's 13 units, which, there was a lot of emphasis placed on the moderate housing units, but 13 out of 88, I think, is somewhat minuscule. The point I'm trying to make is, due to the current economic environment, the citizens of Sussex County are not in a financial position to continually subsidize infrastructure costs in a county that's already overdeveloped. As I mentioned, I've been in the mortgage industry for 34 years. I'm quite familiar with the housing industry. As I did point out, we currently have 21 months of houses on the market, which The value of homes in this area have been devalued by 20 to 25%. We feel that a new housing development would simply exasperate the already fragile housing industry. So therefore, we are in strong opposition to this. There were a couple questions I had during the presentation. This gentleman so strongly emphasized that there was a detriment to farming due to the congestion on Zora Road. What's the new development going to do, and how's it going to impact the congestion on Zora Road? I mean, if we can't do farming on it, how's 88 more townhomes and commercial units going to impact the congestion on Zora Road? Also, the wastewater treatment facility. If and when they do plug in to the town of Georgetown, where, if this facility is on site, what's going to become of the wastewater treatment facility? Is it just going to be an abandoned facility? Are they going to dispose of it? Is it going to be an eyesore? These are all questions that we have. But once again, I think our main opposition is that the housing industry is already in a declining position. Additional housing in this area is simply going to exasperate it. I don't think we need another 88 units. I speak for our whole entire association. I don't think we need an additional housing in this area to simply remain vacant. Okay, that's all I have to say.
All right, sir, we thank you. I thank you for putting up with my sense of humor, and I'm going to get an answer to your question here. Go ahead, take a seat. Mr. Davidson, or Mr. Dyer, I believe I understood you to say that the town of Georgetown is going to furnish water and sewer, or they might do it someday.
They are going to. We're beginning the study.
So there will be no on-site.
That is correct. There's no on-site.
Not going to be any on-site system. It's going to be town of Georgetown.
It's going to be the town of Georgetown.
Okay. I just want to make sure that was understood, because that was my impression of what you'd said. But
yes.
I was a little concerned. And don't blame the gentleman. I would be concerned, too, if you were started down one road and ended up on another. All right, sir, thank you. Who's next? Ma'am, I think it was you. Yeah.
Hi, my name is Joanne Feeders, and I live on Fairway Avenue in Sussex Pines. I have a few questions, because I don't understand quite this whole process.
All right.
One of my questions was, which comes first, DelDOT or the development?
Well, can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, of all the improvements going to be made at down Sussex Pine Road, down Zora Road, mm-hmm. to Woodcrest, where does that come in time-wise with the development procedure?
Well, that isn't something that we decide. That is actually something DelDOT decides, so it'll come when they say it comes.
So it could come like 5 years down the road after the development.
Or it could come before the development. Yeah, so it's hard to tell.
Okay, well, that there is no answer to that question then.
They have to have all their agency approvals before we can grant final approval. So they've got the approvals, and those issues relating to the DelDOT comments would have to be resolved before we grant final approval.
Okay, so everything we talked about here tonight is a suggestion.
No, I don't. I wouldn't say that.
Not a suggestion, but a plan.
I would say that DelDOT has responded to their plan with what they would require if it, in fact, was approved. As to the timing of the improvements, I don't think anybody can speak to that issue yet. But I think I understand what you're implying, and I think it's a fair concern.
Okay.
Can I respond to that, too?
You may.
And the DelDOT issues, they reference several agreements. Those agreements are typically for intersection or traffic light improvements,
mm-hmm.
and they do sometimes have timelines, and the developer has to put in monies in escrow or post-bonding guaranteeing that work. And then DelDOt decides when that work takes place, not the developer.
Okay.
But if I might interject, isn't it also correct, though, that whatever improvement LDOT feels are necessary to Zor Road right in front of the property will have to be done at the time the property is developed.
Typically, yeah. If they'll usually require whatever road improvements that are adjoining the property be done right away, and then the others, it depends.
Right.
Okay. All right, another question. MPHU.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Moderately priced housing unit.
What does that exactly mean? I know what it means, but in dollars and cents.
In dollars and cents, I don't know. To give you a specific price, I can't tell you because, you know, what is moderately priced today?
I suggest you contact Brandy Bennett in the Housing and Community Development and Housing Shop for Sussex County. It's tied to their specific guidelines in their program. And
okay, there's a guideline in a program.
Yeah, and just it's too complicated to go into.
Here's a for instance, though, that units, the estimated sales price between 170 and 240, and then the moderately priced units would be somewhere in the neighborhood of 122. That's what's being suggested for one type of unit. Another type of unit, larger unit, might be as much as 224.
Okay.
Could be more than that, or more than the 122, obviously. But generally, the ideas are trying to come up with something, you know, that is going to be 25, 30, 35% less than the market, I think is where they're going. I can't really give you a specific dollar amount, but usually they're trying to knock a third off of what the market is. But it's supposed to be more geared to income, you know, I think to average income levels and so on. So it's a formula that I'm not sure. I'm sure I can't explain it to you. I hope there's somebody somewhere that could, but I'm...
Okay, right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
The only thing is...
Excuse me, but sir, we allow one trip per customer, and you've had yours. If you want to ask something or say something, don't you get up. Want to ask something or say something, tell one of your friends and get them to come up here and ask them. Go ahead.
You just asked if someone could...
You can tell her later when we're done, sir. You'll get a chance to do it, okay? Go ahead. The gentleman is 34 years in the mortgage business. He's got the answer to your question, and he's okay. Dying to answer it for you. So,
all right. Well, one of my really main concerns is the intersection of Zor and Woodcrest.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mess. Not this problem, but this will really impact that problem type thing. So, but I just wanted to put it on record or notes that is a major concern also.
Mm-hmm.
That particular intersection. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir, all the way in the back.
Hi, my name is Greg Macklin. I live on 4 Pinehurst Drive in Gulf Village, which is just off Sussex Pines Road. It looks like a beautiful project. This is the first I've really seen it tonight. But I'm also concerned with the traffic on Zor Road. It is very congested now. And during Mr. Davison's presentation, I heard him say road improvements to Zor Road from the south side of the property to Sussex Pines Road. My concern is if the improvements stop at Sussex Pines Road, right now, if you're headed south on Zor Road and you want to make a left onto Sussex Pines Road, it's very dangerous. And had a family member been rear-ended there. So it seems to me those improvements you would want to extend well north of Sussex Pines Road so that you could make a safer left-hand turn onto Sussex Pines Road. That was my first issue. The other intersection, which I didn't hear anything mentioned about, is a few miles south of where this proposed development is, Patriots Way, which is where Sussex Central High School was located, is also a very dangerous intersection. And I'd also like to see some improvements made to that intersection, given the extra congestion that this project would contribute to Zora Road. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. Who's next? Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. My name is Gail Gates, and I live at 25 Fairway Avenue. I'm about a mile away with the Homeowners Association.
Mm-hmm.
Our biggest concern is the density of the project. Mm-hmm. You know, people living there, and then 250 cars in and out with lights or without lights. Very dangerous getting on 113. We can hardly get on as it is. We would recommend to the committee to consider a less dense, if mm-hmm. if you are approving this project, a less dense project. It's just way too dense. It's, everyone's going to try to get on 113 to go to work, and it's, the roads just can't handle that much traffic, 250, 300 cars more. We can hardly handle what's here now. So we're just asking to consider a less dense project. None at all. That's all I have to say.
All right, then.
Thank you.
We thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We appreciate you being with us this evening. You may wish to remain for the rest of your Thursday evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing is